SBS Radio.
Aboriginal father arrested in WA for unpaid fines. Australia and Canada partners to promote Indigenous businesses. And more than 70,000 people attended a concert in Sydney to support firefighters and all those impacted by bushfires. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Šárka Pechová. A Noongar father was arrested and incarcerated in West Australia for unpaid fines. As NITV reports, the 41-year-old father of seven is facing 5 days at Perth's Haikia prison after he was randomly stopped and checked by officers on a train on Friday. In Western Australia, under the Fines, Penalties and Infringement Notices Enforcement Act from 1994, if a person defaults on a payment arrangement, an arrest warrant is issued and they are detained at a rate of $250 per day until the fine is paid off. The Noongar father, Mr. Lu, is expected to spend 5 days in Haikia as a means of cutting his fine valued at $3,599. In September last year, fine default reforms package was introduced by West Australian Attorney General John Quingley. However, it did not pass by the end of the year. Victoria's government has announced a review of the state's Native Title Laws, Traditional Owners Settlement Act, which seeks to find out if bureaucratic barriers are preventing Indigenous Victorians from accessing land rights. Attorney General Jill Henze says it could result in Victorian Aboriginals receiving future legal settlements worth millions of dollars for the loss of culture and spiritual rights. She says the process will ensure Victoria continues to work with traditional landowners to ensure self-determination for Indigenous Australians. A partnership between Australia and Canada will identify, support and promote opportunities for Indigenous businesses. The Indigenous Economic Development Partnership will look at everything from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's relationship with banks and the financial sector to specific procurement opportunities for their businesses. Chief Executive of Supply Nation Laura Berry says the initiative has been in the works for over a year. She says Australia could learn plenty from Canada, in particular how it finances the growth and capability building of Indigenous businesses. New data shows that nearly half of people who have taken up the federal government's first home loan deposit scheme intend to buy their first home outside of the country's three largest cities. The data also shows most of these people buying outside of Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane are under 30 years of age. Those aged between 30 and 39, on the other hand, are more likely to be buying in the bigger cities. The scheme offers 10,000 places and allows for the first-time buyers to save for a deposit of just 5% on their home loan. A further 10,000 places in the scheme will become available in July. Federal Housing Minister Michael Suka has told Sky News the fact people are using the scheme to buy homes outside of the major capital cities is pleasing.
We want to assist people purchasing a home wherever they'd like, whether it be a regional centre, whether it be a rural area. That's why we have price caps that are set differently throughout the country that reflect the local market. We think it's very encouraging.
The International Criminal Court has found Australia's offshore processing conditions may constitute a breach of international law, but there is not enough evidence to prosecute the federal government over it. The court says the detention appears to amount to cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment, but the policy hasn't been purposely designed to attack migrants and asylum seekers. The assessment was made by an ICC prosecutor in a formal letter to independent Tasmanian MP Andrew Wilkie, responding to his allegations crimes against humanity could have been committed by the Australian government. Mr. Wilkie says despite no grounds for prosecution being found, the findings are condemnation of the cruelty of the asylum seeker policy. Australians stranded on a cruise ship off Japan over coronavirus concerns could learn as soon as today whether they are to be brought home. Prime Minister Scott Morrison is considering a plan to evacuate the roughly 200 Australians on the Diamond Princess ship. The ship has been in a quarantine in the port of Yokohama for the past 2 weeks. 355 people on the ship are confirmed to have the virus, 16 of them Australians. Those who have tested positive for the virus are being treated in Japan. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt has told the Seven Network the government will look after affected Australians.
We're reaching out to them and we will take care of them if that's the medical advice today and bring them home. It's likely that as the Americans have done, they may have to be in a quarantine situation.
This all comes as hundreds of Australians who have been quarantined on Christmas Island over coronavirus concerns prepare to leave the quarantine. The government today will announce changes to visa rules to allow backpackers to help with bushfire recovery. Acting Immigration Minister Alan Tutch will visit the Gippsland region today to formally announce the changes. The changes include letting backpackers live in designation bushfire-affected areas, stay with the same employer for 1 year ahead of 6 months, and both volunteer and paid disaster recovery work in these areas will count towards the specified work needed to apply for a second or third year visa. Backpackers are set to help with demolition, land clearing and repairs to dams, roads and railways, as well as rebuilding homes, fences and farms. More than 70,000 people have poured into Stadium Australia in Sydney to show support for the state's firefighters and all those impacted by this summer's bushfire crisis. Hosted by comedian Celeste Barber, all profits from the Firefight Australia's ticket sales will go to groups which are helping fire-ravaged communities get back on their feet. Rock legends Queen and Adam Lambert reprised the band's iconic 1985 Live Aid set for the roaring crowd with John Farnham, Alice Cooper and Ronan Keating. Judy Campbell travelled from regional Victoria to attend the 9-hour concert.
Friend Sherry bought them and said she had a couple of spares, so we travelled from Echuca to Melbourne and up here to Sydney for this to support the bushfire relief. We're in drought, but we can help others.
Firefights profits will be shared between the Red Cross Disaster Relief and Recovery Fund, Rural and Regional Fire Services, and the RSPCA Bushfires Appeal. Overseas now. Dozens of protesters have clashed with Iraqi security forces in central Baghdad. Some have been taken to hospital after clashes that featured gunfire, use of tear gas and smoke bombs by the police. Protesters also claim their tents, which were occupying Al-Kalani Square in center Baghdad, were burned down by security forces. Protester Ayham says the security forces started the violence.
We are peaceful people, and they just hit us by this tear gas canister. They are using hunting rifles to shoot at us, and there is shrapnel in my hand and feet. It is all happening in front of us, there. We advance, and they shoot and force us to retreat. If we were not here, they would get into Tahrir Square through this tunnel here.
Protests have been going on in Iraq since late last year in Baghdad and the predominantly Shiite Muslim areas of southern Iraq. The protesters have been decrying what they say is a rampant government corruption, poor services and lack of employment. At least 500 people have died. The Palestinian Authority's prime minister has lashed out at United States President Donald Trump's Middle East peace plan. Speaking at the Munich Security Conference, Mohamed Shtayi says Mr. Trump's plan is merely an agreement between him and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Mr. Shtayi says Mr. Trump's proposal will leave a future Palestinian state fragmented with no sovereignty, and this would allow Israel to annex large parts of the West Bank. Whilst he says Palestinians are open to serious negotiations, Mr. Shtayi claims Mr. Trump's plan has virtually no support.
Trump has no partner, not in Europe, not in the Arab world, and not in Palestine. The Trump initiative has been born dead, and it will even be buried very soon.
With an election looming next month in Israel, Mr. Shtayi also says there is little difference between Mr. Netanyahu and Israeli opposition leader Benny Gantz. Munich Security Conference has been told climate change is an increasing concern for military leaders. Greenpeace and the United Nations are amongst those who have addressed the conference. So has retired Dutch General Top Middendorp. He's the chairman of the International Military Council on Climate Change and Security. He says military leaders and security experts are feeling guilty about the world they are leaving to their children.
It's increasingly also generals, admirals, and high-level security experts who are ringing that same bell. And they are connecting. Within half a year, we now have experts from over 32 countries in every continent of the world uniting in one network because they are concerned about what's happening here and they feel guilty that they have to leave such a world to their children.
And to sports now. In the AFLW, Adelaide has torn from behind to secure a remarkable 13-point win against St Kilda at Richmond Oval. The Crows didn't score until almost midway through the second quarter, but managed to steal the lead in the last 4 minutes of the game when Madison Newman steered through a goal from an angle. Caitlin Gold has levelled the scores moments earlier when she clung onto a huge puck mark and kicked the first goal of her AFLW career. Adelaide forward Eloise Jones then sealed the 6.4-4.3 win with a goal on the siren. In the NBL, Livewire guard Brees Cotton has joined a small group of multiple Most Valued Player Award winners after another season of heavy scoring for Perth Wildcats. The 27-year-old led the league for scoring 22.5 points per game and steals 1.74, becoming the first player to achieve the double. And let's have a look at today's weather. Broome partly cloudy with a top of 33. Perth mostly sunny, top of 32 degrees. Adelaide sunny and top of 30. Melbourne humid and partly cloudy with a top of 28. Hobart partly cloudy and 20 degrees. Albury Wodonga possible shower developing with a top of 33. Canberra shower or two and a top of 27. Sydney shower or two as well and top of 26 degrees. Brisbane possible shower, top of 31. Townsville shower or two, possible storm, top of 34. Cairns also shower or two, top of 33. Darwin also shower or two and there is a possibility of a storm, top of 34. Alice Springs sunny, top of 40 degrees. Torres Strait Islands are partly cloudy, there is a chance of showers and a thunderstorm, top of 30 degrees.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.